Why don't we give a hand for the worship team? That was a great time of worship. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace Bible Church, and we're jumping into a series. We've been in a series actually called Foundations. And how many of you have felt kind of a shaking in our culture, a shaking in our world of things that we've depended on? Things like health, things like our economy, things like our government, and you just world relations with other nations. And how many of you feel like things are shaking? Anybody besides me? And what we wanna do in this series is to build our lives on a foundation that will never be shaken, which is Christ. And there's certain things. If you've gone through the one-to-one, we have a book called One-to-One that kind of lays out the foundations of our faith, prayer. How many of you enjoyed Pastor Camille and sharing about prayer? We went through salvation, we went through repentance. Today we're going to talk about lordship, and lordship, that word lordship or the word Lord, especially in Hawaii culture, might trigger some sort of like bad response because in the early Hawaiian days it was Luna. How many of you know the word Luna? The term Luna is like Lord. It's the Portuguese were the ones that were the Lunas in Hawaiian culture, and kind of the ones, yeah, like Brian, the real bold kind of like pushy people. Shirino is actually a Portuguese, and then she got reincarnated. No, we don't believe in reincarnation here. The Christian church, but that's my sister Shirina, and she's Okinawan, but she's Portuguese in blood. Where was I? Lordship. So we're going to be talking about lordship and how it's not just about receiving Jesus as our Savior, but surrendering our lives to Him as Lord. How many are excited about that? Nobody really gets excited about surrendering. It's all about the blessings. Like, I want the blessings. I want God to, like, just shower down open heavens. But nobody really wants to surrender their lives to God. But we're going to talk about lordship this morning. How many are excited about lordship? Hey, all right. Why don't we start by reading scripture, and then I'll jump into the word. So this is not in your notes, but this is Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to start with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Everyone say servant. And coming in the likeness of man, he was found in the appearance of man, and he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, everyone say therefore. God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Can we open up in a word of prayer? God, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings and that you're the Lord of Lords, and that you not only came on earth to trailblaze a path for us into the kingdom of God through the doorway of a servant, but you have created and revealed a way to live in this kingdom of God under your authority and under your rulership, that we can experience the same authority that you've given your son, and that is through the doorway of a servant. That's through the doorway of surrender to you. And God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning as we jump into your scripture. And God, help us not just to hear what you are saying to us this morning, but give us the grace to do and to experience the promise that you have for every single one of us through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Our relationship with Christ is not just a religion. It's not just a bunch of rules, but God gives us an invitation to experience the same thing that he experienced. He said, greater things are you going to do in my name if you believe. And so we are sons and daughters of God. He's created for us the template, trailblazed the path to authority in the kingdom of God, living in the authority and the promises of God through the pathway of a servant. What is the lordship of Christ? Lordship, Jesus is Lord, and he is Lord because it says God has made him Lord in the past, but he's also will make him Lord in the future, where every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That means that your co-worker, that family member that's like anti-God, anti-Christian, doesn't want to go to church, it says it's just a matter of time before every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. I heard the saying, you can either bow now and stand later, or you can stand now in arrogance and bow later. But every single one of us will bow. It's just a matter of time. And so God gives us the opportunity to, with our free will, before he comes back to earth and rules and reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he gives us the opportunity to voluntarily surrender our lives to him the same way that he laid down his life as a servant for us. He invites us to do the same thing. We had a retreat, and everything in the kingdom is upside down. How many realize that? That if we want to be blessed, we give. If we want to have more time, then we volunteer time. If we want to have forgiveness in our lives, then we give forgiveness to others. Everything in the kingdom of God, if we want to be great, we need to be a servant, right? Everything in the kingdom is upside down. So when Jesus came to earth, he didn't come as the king. He came as a baby in a manger, and he served the world, and then he died for the world, and then it says God highly exalted him. And so he gives us a template in our lives. We had a retreat with our family a couple of months ago. I kind of shared a little bit about it. But my dad, he wrote a book, and it's called Rooted, and there's 30 different devotionals. Right now, our family is going through one every day, and we just went through my least favorite chapter. And the reason why it's my least favorite chapter is because my dad talks about his favorite child, and it's not me. And we were at this retreat a while ago, and the whole family was there. And out of all the different chapters that he could have read, he read the chapter on his favorite child, that's not me. And he talks about Davin. How many of you know Davin? He's the youngest. No, you don't need to clap. He's the youngest of the family and the most kolohe, but the most loving and the most servant-hearted. And so my dad writes in the book of how out of all his kids that he loves Davin the most, and how Davin is the most pastoral, and how Davin is the most loving, blah, blah, blah. And so we're listening to this, right? And then in the devotional, he says, and we know that Davin, because he's the most loving, he's going to take care of us in our older years when we need care and we need, you know, someone to take care of. It's going to be Davin. And then my sister, she's just all irritated, right? She's sitting down, she goes, fine, you can take them. She's talking to Davin. You can take them when they're old. And then my mom looks at Shireen and goes, yeah, and he can take all the inheritance too. And we were like, whoa. But that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. The servant is the greatest. You know, when we surrender and we give everything to God, that's the pathway to promotion. That's the pathway to authority. And so lordship is authority and it's rulership. Let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 36. And this is past tense, what God has already done. Let's read this together at the count of three. One, two, three. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So this is talking past tense, that God has already done it. It doesn't matter if you agree with it or if I agree with it. It's been done already. It's been declared, it's been done by God the Father that Jesus is Lord. And it's just a matter of time before we see that and God answers the prayer of Jesus, let his kingdom come, let his will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. It's going to happen. It's going to happen where Jesus returns, and he's not returning to take everybody to heaven. He's coming here to rule and reign on earth. Wouldn't that be great? Everybody has their signs in their yard. You know, Trump for president, Kamala for president. I'm going to have Jesus for president on my lawn. Wouldn't it be awesome to have Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, descend from heaven, the dead in Christ rise first, to meet him in the air, to usher him back to earth, where God answers the prayer on earth as it is in heaven, and we who are the saints are the citizens of this heavenly kingdom where Jesus is president. Perfect government, perfect peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen? And how many know that we need his authority, his rulership, his reign on this earth now more than ever? And he does it through our lives. When we surrender to Christ and we allow him to be Lord of our lives, King of our hearts, that's where his kingdom advances in this world first. But there's coming a day that he's coming back, and that's going to be amazing. God has already declared him king, but it's also in the future. Philippians 2, 9 and 11. Let's read the scripture at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, let's do that again. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. God has declared Jesus Lord, and Jesus will be Lord on earth as it is in heaven. How do we enter into the kingdom of God? How do we live in this kingdom? Lordship starts with confession. Everyone say confession. And this isn't the confession where you go into the booth and you say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. You know, I grew up, how many are Catholic and have actually gone into a confession booth? Anyone? Wow, okay, that's awesome. I've never gone to a confession booth, but, you know, my dad being the founding pastor of Grace Bible and my mom, they hear from God all the time. And I would have to do confession, you know, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. That was a joke. Tell my dad, you know, my son, he never gets spanking, and he complained about our discipline, and I said, you have no idea. Like, my mom spanked me every day of my life because she said that there's probably something wrong that I did that I didn't tell her about. So the older generation, we know about discipline. We know about confession. If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. Confession is just not the confessing of sin, but it's confessing that Jesus is Lord of your life. James talks about the tongue being the rudder of a ship, that what we speak and the words that we say, the words form and shape our world. The words that we speak form and shape our world. Just like the rudder of a ship steers a boat and is very small, our tongue steers our lives in the direction of our future by the things that we speak. A lot of times we listen to the words of others and we listen to the things that we see on television and social media, and that dictates what we speak. And then once we speak something, it begins to form and shape our world. God has called us as his children and his people to not be filled with the words of others and the words of social media and the words of the news, but to be filled with his word. And when we hear his word and we speak his word, it begins to shape and change the world that we're in. You've probably heard the saying that thoughts produce words, words produce our actions, actions produce our habits, then habits produce our character, and our character shapes destiny. How many have heard that before? That your thoughts produce words, words, actions, actions, habits, habits, character, and character shapes our destiny. But everything starts with the words that we say, the things that we think, and then the words that we say. Why? Why are our words so powerful? How many of you have had negative words spoken over you by your parents or by people in your life that were significant, and they say, you're good for nothing, you're so hopeless? You know, they say certain things like, I don't know, I can't think of stuff. But how many of you have experienced, like, hurtful words that shape how you think of yourself and how you view yourself? And And instead of being shaped by those words, we need to be shaped by the word of God. God said that he made us in his image and in his likeness. Turn to the person sitting next to you and tell the person sitting next to you, you look a lot like God. And then turn to the other person sitting next to you and say, you are beautiful. You are handsome. You are made in God's image. God doesn't make junk. That's the word of God operating in your life. The word of God is creative. It said that the Genesis says that it was dark and it was formless, and then God spoke. He said, let there be light, and there was light. In the same way, in our lives, he has given us power, creative power, through the spoken word. And we don't wait for things to form before we speak it into existence. We hear God's word, we speak peace, even though there's strife. We speak healing, even though there's sickness. We speak hope where there's hopelessness. And God, through his people, uses our words to create our world. Amen? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we do that through the word of God. And we do that through confession. Confession is followed by action. Everyone say action. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter my kingdom. And I believe that that kingdom, that word kingdom, doesn't just mean heaven. You know, a lot of us read that portion of scripture and say, man, I want to get to heaven. So to get to heaven, I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. I need to like be perfect so I can get to heaven. But this scripture, I believe, is talking about a pathway into the experiencing the kingdom of God on this earth. In our everyday lives. And Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, or just says it, confesses it with their mouth, will enter the kingdom, but those who do the will. Everyone say, do. Do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. We don't want to leave our faith only at the mental ascent of like understanding his word, but then actually taking action and stepping out in faith. Action is fueled by love. Let me just say this about action. Why is it that action is so important to God? Let's read this next scripture. It's because our action should be fueled by love. Let's read John 14:21 at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Whoever has my commandment. So whoever hears it, okay? So I look at this as like an upside down pyramid, right? Those of you who have heard my commands or who has my commands, those are people who hear the word of God on a daily basis, are soaping, are jumping into the word, who have the commandments, understand the commandments of God. That's like this top tier level of this funnel. Don't raise your hand because I don't want to get discouraged, but how many spend some time in the word every single day? Okay, so, okay, awesome. I'm going to see one hand go up and go, oh my gosh. Top tiers, those that spend time in the word. The next one, it's he who not just only hears my word, but then keeps it, does it. What happens? Whoever has my commandments keeps it. It's he who loves me. It's he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the way that your faith grows. This is the way that my faith grows. We hear the word of God, but after we hear the word of God, most of the time it's not going to make any sense at all. When the Bible says, like, you're struggling with your coworker because your coworker is just like irritating the heck out of you, or your wife or your husband just never picks up his socks. Or the kids, and the kids don't respect you, and you just want to yell or do something, right? And the Bible says, I want you to love your enemy. I want you to forgive as you've been forgiven. I want you to bless those that hurt you. Does that make any sense at all? When I feel like I'm suffering, like I don't have enough myself, and house prices are $1 million on this island. And the scripture says, I want you to give tithe. Does that make any sense at all? No, right? I mean, it makes no sense. But the obedience comes out of faith. And when we take a step of faith and we obey something that doesn't make sense, what we're saying is, I have this knowledge of good and evil. I have knowledge of right and wrong. But instead of partaking of the tree of the knowledge of what's right and wrong for my sustenance and for what makes sense, I'm going to partake of the tree of life. I'm going to trust my relationship with God and what he says instead of what I understand in my mind. And if I partake of the tree of life, what's going to happen? You know what happens? Is revelation. God manifests his self to us. You know, like, I remember, and I've told this story before to those that are in the congregation a long time, but I was doing this mission trip in Guam, and it was the first time that I actually had to step out and obey that scripture that says, do good to those that hurt you. And I was in the back streets of this city called Dededo, and this guy jumped out in front of my car, and he was high on drugs, and so I had to stop. And he came around the side of my car, and he told me to roll down the window. So I rolled down the window, and he started punching me through the window of my car, the 4Runner. And so I was like, what the heck? You know, like, he's, like, pinching me, and I'm, like, leaning back. And I remember he's just getting my shoulder, so it wasn't that bad. And then his friend runs out, grabs him, pulls him off the car, and he's like, go, go, go. So, like, I just, like, took off. And I drove away, and then there's this thought that came to my mind, like, I want to turn around and run this guy over. Like, it was just like, you know, a flash thought, and I rebuke you, Satan. You know, I went down the street. I was just, like, pretty close to where this happened, and I was like, God, what I do? Like, I'm so mad at this guy, like, for no reason. He just, like, came out, and he was, like, hitting me, and then God tells me, so I was in the house. I was by myself. And I opened up the cupboard, and there's this box of brownies. And I felt like God said, make those brownies and take it to his house. How stupid is that? How stupid is that? Like, I saw where he came out. He punches me. I'm going to go back with a pan of brownies? Like, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. But the scripture says to do good, not just to, like, you know, love your enemy, to, like, do good. The only thing I could think of was, like, I don't even know how to make brownies, but whatever. So I pull a box, I make brownies. How many of you would think, like, that's dumb? This guy's going to think I'm retarded. So I make the brownies, go to his house, knock on the door. He opens the door. He's there. He's like, yes. And I'm standing there with this pan of brownies. And he's like, what do you want? And, like, you punched me yesterday. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember. What do you want? And I said, well, I feel like God told me to make you some brownies. And then he looked at me. He's like, what? And I said, I don't know. But the Bible says to do good to those that hurt you. So the only thing that was in my kitchen was this box of brownies. So I made you this box of brownies. He's like, what's in it? There's nothing in it. It's just brown. He's like, okay, shoots then. He opens up the door. He, like, takes the brownies. And then he said, so why are you here? I was like, oh, you know, I'm here from Hawaii, and I'm doing, you know, a mission for the summer. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he said, can you come back tomorrow? And I was like, why? And he goes, because I have a party, and I guess since you're on a mission, you can bless our food. Can you come back and bless our food? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. So I end up coming back, blessing the food at his party. And then the car that I was in broke while I was borrowing it from the pastor. I accidentally broke it. I forgot exactly how I broke it. Because the coral roads there are really slippery when it's wet. And so I spun out and I hit the bumper. Finds out this guy is a mechanic. And so he's like, oh, I'll fix that for free. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I bring it over to the house, and he fixes the whole thing, makes it like all new. And then I pray for his thing, and then he said, and he said he was going to come to church, but he never did. Anyway, when he did that, and we started forming this relationship, and I got to pray for him and pray for his party and all this, and then he blessed me by fixing the bumper of the truck. I got to experience the power of God and how the kingdom of God works. It doesn't make sense when you listen to it and don't do anything about it. It only makes a difference when you hear it and then you step out in faith, and then God reveals himself through your obedience, whether it's whatever it is in Scripture. And it says, whoever has these commandments and keeps them, it's he who loves me. You know, the only reason why I gave that guy brownies isn't because I really loved him. Like, I did it because I love God. And I wanted to be obedient to God. It's he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And then what happens? I will love him and manifest myself to him. Isn't that cool? That we grow in faith, we grow in our relationship with God when we hear the word, but then step out and do the word out of love. And then when we show God we love him and we trust him more than our own understanding, lean not on your own understanding, then God begins to reveal himself. And you know what happens? That grows your relationship and your faith with God, because the next time he's going to ask you to do something even more crazy. And when he asks you to do something more crazy, you'll have the experience before to be able to step out in a bigger way and then experience a bigger God who will then ask you to do a bigger thing, and you'll have to step out in bigger faith to experience a bigger God, and then it just keeps going and growing and growing. Amen? So action, that's fueled by love. And then finally, lordship, it begins in your heart. And it's a process. 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but in your heart, everyone say, in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. You know, like when Jesus is Lord of your life and you hear his word and then you obey his word, and then he reveals something to you, and you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then he does it again, and he does it again. You know what happens in your life? Your life starts filling up with stories of the faithfulness of God. It starts filling up with reasons for the hope that is in you. You know, like, the reason why you hope, the reason why I hope, is not just because of the words in this book. But the words in this book dictate the actions of my life. And then the actions of my life dictate the experience that I have with God and the hope that is in me that I can then share with anyone else who is struggling with bitterness, who's struggling with lack, who's struggling with relational tensions, who's struggling with illness. I have stories of seeing God heal people, both physically, mentally, emotionally. I have stories of how God has provided for me physically, how he has healed me of bitterness toward other people because I've stepped out in faith, and I've seen God's goodness. And now I'm full of stories that I can share of the hope that's inside of me. Amen? And God has called every single one of us to be storytellers, to be hope spreaders, that as we experience the goodness of God, that we can share that hope with others. And it comes first by confessing God as Lord of our hearts, confessing it and then following it up with action. Colossians 2, 6 through 7, it says this, and we'll close it this scripture. Let's read the scripture at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. We receive, but we don't just receive it and let it stay stagnant. Every single day, we're walking in it. Amen? As you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving, abounding in thanksgiving. The root, I believe, you know, rooted up and built up in him, establishing the faith, it starts with a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude for everything that he's done for us. We can what we focus on is what we get more of. If we focus on the lack in our lives, on the offense in our lives, that's what we'll get more of. But if we focus on the goodness of God and what he's done in our lives, we will get more of that. God gives us more of what we focus on. And it says to be rooted and built up with him, we should be abounding. Everyone say abounding. Abounding in thanksgiving. I've never met anybody who has backslid or walking away from the Lord who had a grateful heart. But I've seen a lot of people, a lot of miserable Christians who are constantly on the fence of following God or not following God or going to church or not going to church, that are constantly complaining and not grateful. If you want your foundation in your life to stay solid, it begins with a heart of thanksgiving. And that's not just applicable to our lives in church, in faith, but if you jump on any podcast on YouTube and follow any successful person and they start telling you about their daily disciplines, it always starts off with gratitude. Gratitude is like universal principle of success. For us to have more in life of anything, we have to be grateful for what we have. Amen? If the worship team can come up. In Hawaiian culture, we don't use the word to express our gratitude. We don't express it with the word much obliged. How many of you have heard that term, much obliged? Raise your hand I'm curious. Raise your hand if you've heard much obliged. That's something that we don't ever say. You know, somebody treats you out to a plate lunch, much obliged, sir. Like, none of us, oh, thanks, Abra. Like, it's different in Hawaii. But that word, much obliged, the root of obliged, being grateful, is obligation. And when we are grateful to God, when we're truly grateful to God, there is a sense of obligation, a sense of, I want to make him Lord. I want to give back to him who has given so much to me. And the opposite of that, if we don't cultivate, and it's not a natural thing, we need to intentionally cultivate gratefulness in our lives. If we don't intentionally cultivate gratefulness in our lives, we become entitled. We begin to think that everything we have is owed to us. And that's when we begin to get critical and bitter, ungrateful, resentful, and then walk away from the Lord. So everything that we have, his lordship of our lives begins with abounding in thanksgiving. Amen? We do this every week. We express our gratefulness. If there's anything that we can be grateful to the Lord for, it's his love for our lives that resulted in him giving his body to be broken for us. Would you just take the bread this morning and just repeat this prayer after me? Say, dear Jesus, thank you that you love me and that you gave yourself for me and that through your broken body that I receive healing. In Jesus' name, I receive healing for my mind. I receive healing for my will. I receive healing for my emotions. And I receive healing for my body. I declare my relationships are healthy. And that as you have forgiven me and as you have loved me, God, that I will sacrificially love others. Thank you for your body that was broken for me because of your love. And I receive it with gratefulness this morning. In Jesus' name, you can go ahead and take the bread. You can peel off the top. If you're using this for the first time, you got to kind of snap it down before pulling it back. Just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your blood that was shed for the forgiveness of my sin. I thank you that you didn't do this out of obligation, but you did it because you loved me. You loved me when I wasn't thinking about you. You loved me when I was in my sin. You loved me in my rebellion. And you gave yourself for me. I thank you for your blood that washes and cleanses me of all my sin. In Jesus' name, you can take the cup this morning. If you have never received the Lord and you're here for the first time and you want to have a relationship with Christ and you want to declare that in the same way that he served us, that you want to serve him and you want to make him Lord of your life, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity to receive the Lord into your life as not just your Lord, but your Savior, the one who saves. If that's you and you heard the message this morning and you're, I want to grow in my faith with God, but I've never received him as my Savior, would you raise your hand this morning and I want to pray for you. If that's you this morning and you want to receive Christ in your heart, you don't need to look around. You don't need to see if anyone else is doing it. It's between you and the Lord. If that's you this morning, you can raise your hand and I want to pray for you. Is there anyone this morning? Never had a relationship with Christ and I want to start a relationship with Christ. You can just raise your hand. Last chance. Receive him into your heart. Okay, if there's anyone this morning that wants God to give you the grace to be grateful, to have a daily practice of being grateful and having a heart of gratitude, would you raise your hand this morning? I want to pray for you as well. Anyone? Awesome. Okay. Let's pray this morning. Why don't we all pray together? Dear God, I surrender to you this morning. Ask you into my heart and life. I repent of being ungrateful and focused on the things I don't have. I ask that you would give me the grace to live a life of gratitude in total surrender to you because of your love for me. I declare now that I surrender all to you and give you my mind. Fill my heart with gratitude every day for the things you've done for me and help me to be a blessing to this world. As you have been a blessing to me. I ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Can we give God a hand? Why don't we all stand? And we're going to close with a word of prayer. I mean, with